left off yesterday, I'm trying to analyze that Gemara in light of the Machlokes Rishonim about whether we accept the principle of Smoch Mitl Chazoch or not. So we said that the Rebbeinu Preskes quoted the question, the name of his Rebbe, Ra'ah, is that how come the Gemara seems to indicate to us that it's only Rebbe Meir who's concerned with the Miut in our Sugya? Even according to the Rabbana, we should be concerned with the Miut because of Smoch Mitl Chazoch. Which Rebbeinu Preskes and Ra'ah said in Achinami, that in fact we really should be concerned with Smoch Mitl Chazoch. The only reason the Gemara doesn't bother asking the question is because whatever the answer we give for Rebbe Meir is going to work for the Rabbanan also. But the Ikaron, even according to the Rabbanan, we should have to deal with this problem, that Smoch Mitl Chazoch is an issue in terms of our sugya. So I wanted to suggest today that perhaps not all the Rishonim agree to this Ra'ah, not all the Rishonim agree to this presentation of their own Rebbeinu Preskes. And there are Rishonim who, even though they accept the principle, the Ikaron of Smoch Mitl Chazoch, the application of Smoch Mitl Chazoch in our Sugya would not be correct. So let's backtrack for a minute to go back to some of the things that we spoke about yesterday to be able to understand this alternate Pshat in our Gemara. So remember yesterday we raised the question on the Gemara Masechas Chul, Rabbi Tzinei Tzushchit Mumchenhei, that most people are considered to be mumkin, are considered to be experts in the realm of shechita, and therefore, if a person finds an animal that was shechted and can't really tell 100% whether it was shechted properly or not, you can assume that it was shechted properly. So we asked the question yesterday: what happens to smoch miut lechazaka? Let's combine the miut of people who don't shech properly to the chazaka, the status quo. The animal, when it was alive, was asur. And let's ask the animal. So that was the Ra'os Ka'ashet, which the Ra'os gave very, very Mekudosh Tekuteret, that Rav means Tzuneh Tzushchit, doesn't mean Rav, means coal. And Rabbi Dachdozan issues with that, the Rosh finishes with that, but yesterday issue. So there is a second approach to that problem, not going the Ra'os route, but rather taking the Gemara's words at face value, that Rav means Tzuneh Tzushchit means Rav, and nevertheless we do not apply the principle of Smoch Mitl Lechazocha. How is that? So comes the Rashba himself in the Mishmeres Abayis, and the Rashba suggests that we have to analyze very, very carefully this principle of Smoch Mitl Lechazocha, when it's applicable and when it's not. Again, other Rishonim say there is no such principle. Tosafot Chai V'Kamoi says there is no such klal, and Rabbi Natan said it's only Chumid Rabbanan. But we're assuming that it's a real klal, it's a real, real halachic principle called Smoch Mitl Lechazocha that the Rabbanan really subscribe to, quite possibly Midaraisa. Nevertheless, as the Rashba, doesn't always apply. There are limitations within this klal. What are the limitations? So says the Rashba, we have to go back to the very, very beginning, one of the beginning parts of the Sugya, the Gemara Daf Kuf Yates Nivamos, which is one of the places which introduced us to the principle of Smoch Mitl Chazoch in the first place. So if you remember the Mishnah at the very end, the last parashah, Masechet Yevamos, Kuf Yates, the Mishnah told us that if a woman is here, and now she knows that her husband and the tzara, the co-wife, went on a far trip, and now she hears that her husband died. The question is, can she rely on the fact that the tzara most probably had a baby? If the tzara became pregnant and had a baby, then she's off the hook, that she doesn't have to wait for even mechalitza. If she cannot assume that the tzara had a baby, then she is a kukul liyivum, she's a kukul lechalitza, because when her husband left, to the best of my knowledge, he didn't have any children as of yet. So what is halacha? Can you rely on the fact that the co-wife of the tzara probably did become pregnant and had a baby or not? So the Gemara says, "Chayish should follow Rove." The Gemara says, "Why don't we follow Rove? Rove Nashim, Misabas the oldest. Most women become pregnant. Most women have babies. So therefore, Rove points in the direction that this woman is muteris to get married without requiring chalitza." To which the Gemara said, "No. That even though it's true that Rove Nashim are Misabas the oldest, but there are Miut Nashim who are Mapilos. There are some women who miscarry." Even if she becomes pregnant, she may miscarry. Smoch mi'utu de mapilos lechazoka, that she has an iser, because her status quo is that she's a sur, because as of now, without the knowledge of the fact that her co-wife had a baby, the status quo is that she's a surah. Because as of now, we think the husband does not have any children. So smoch mi'utu de mapilos lechazoka le'iser, and therefore that's Israel aruba, and the robe is destroyed. That was the Gemara. That was the Gemara Toschan the Gemara ignored. And that was the Gemara Rebbeinu Tam says, Zachum Midrabanan. That's the Gemara that invokes the principle of Smoch Mitl Chazocha, which the Rashba and the Ramban will assume was Mamashadim Midaraisa. Yes, the Rashba, a very, very simple question. Let's analyze just for one second Dismoch miyuta lechazaka. What's the lashon of Gemara? Smoch miyuta demapilos. Let's combine the small percentage of women who have miscarriages to the chazaka of the cheskes iser, the isla ruba. That those two things together join up. They gang up together and they destroy the rove. Yes, the Rashba, a very, very simple question. It's a question that somebody, I forgot already who, one of us had, was over this question already 2 weeks ago when we introduced this again, and I pushed him off because I didn't want to get to the punchline too early. Comes the Rashba and says, I don't understand. Smoke miyuta de mapilos v'chazaka. If I had a word, this smoke miyuta v'chazaka, I would say smoke miyuta of nashim who don't become pregnant. Not every woman becomes pregnant. So why don't you say smoke miyuta de nashim she'ena misabros v'cheskes iser v'ishol aruba? Why is it going to be such a madness, such a roundabout smoke miyuta, such a depressing smoke miyuta that even the women who become pregnant, some of them miscarry? Why don't you say smoke miyuta? Not every woman in the world becomes pregnant. That's the Rashba's kasha. So you know, we read the Gemara, we said, okay, no, kasha the Gemara could have said, should have said, would have said. We don't make too much out of it. Says the Rashba, it's that line of the Gemara. It's that smoke miyuta that was said by Chazal with the implication that the other one wasn't said, that is the key to the entire sugya. Says the Rashba, there are two types of miyuta. There are two types of relationships of rove and miyuta. Sometimes the miyuta is outright contradicts the rove. It's what we call a miyuta hamenaged es harove. You have the rove going in one direction, the miyuta is going in another direction, the miyuta is standing on its own 2 feet, outright contradicting the rove. That's one type of a miyut. Then you have another kind of a miyut. Another kind of a miyut is a miyut mitoch harov. It means even within the rove itself, there's a miyut. It means the rove itself is not convincing. Even within the rove, there's something wrong. Like the Moshul of Adoma, like the Havdil. You know, sometimes you can have to fight an enemy which is external. You have to fight, you know, when my army's over here, your army's over there, I'm going and fighting you on your turf. That's one type of an attack. And sometimes you have a fifth column. It means even within the country itself, I have an internal problem. It means even within my own troops, within my own citizens, I have a problem I have to deal with. So comes the Rashba and explains to us what exactly this means. Gives us a concrete example of what exactly the difference of these two types of rove is. Says the Rashba, if you have a rove that most women become pregnant and have children, and then you have a miyut, some women don't become pregnant. That's a contradiction. That's a stir min hayoved. Either you do become pregnant or you don't become pregnant. So look at the numbers. 90% of the women do become pregnant. 10% of the women don't become pregnant. That's a miyut hamenaged es harov. The miyut is standing up on its own 2 feet. It's trying to attack the rove. It's outright contradicting the rove. The rove says this woman did become pregnant. The miyut says the woman did not become pregnant. That's a contradiction. That's a miyut hamenaged es harov. The second type of miyut is that, yes, she became pregnant. None, yes, she became pregnant. Good. Follow the rove. There's a rove that she became pregnant. That's wonderful. Uh-huh. But even if she became pregnant, even if we'll concede to you that the rove is right, guess what? There's a 10% chance that she miscarried. That's what's called a miyut habo mitoich harov. When you have a miyut habo mitoich harov, that's a much more powerful miyut. Because that miyut is not something which is external. That's undermining the legitimacy of the rove mineu bay. That's the fifth column. That's the someone who's fighting internally. That's a miyut that we have to reckon with much more significance than a miyut which is on the davar bo min achutz. Again, statistically, there may be absolutely no difference. But as we've already seen many times, statistics doesn't play as much of a role as we would have thought in the realm of rove and miyut. This is a halachic concept. That there's a miyut which is a davar min achutz, and there's a miyut which is mitoch harov. Says the Rashba, we only have precedent in Chazal for smoch miyut lechazocha when the miyut is bo mikoyach harov, when the miyut is undermining the very rov itself. When the miyut is a davar bo min achutz, so that's not called a miyut. That's nothing. That's command aleisa, and we will not even apply smoch miyut lechazocha. Says the Rashba, now the lashon of Chazal is mamish beautiful, mamish fits in like a charm. Says the Rashba, if the Gemara is searching for smoke mitl chazok and yavam stav kuf yutes, so the Gemara says smoke miyuta de mapilos lecheskes iser. Why didn't the Gemara say smoke miyuta lenoshim she'ena misabros, women who don't become pregnant, to the chazoka? The answer is the women who don't become pregnant are a miyut of a much lower status. It's a miut which is a menagidus arov. It's not much command alaysa, we ignore it. If it's command alaysa, you can't bring it back for tchis amesa to say smokwin lachazocha. Mashainke, if it's a miut of mapilos, the miut of mapilos is a miut which is bami koyach arov. If it's a miut of bami koyach arov, then and only then do we take into consideration, do we have to reckon with it, do we have to deal with it? And then we combine it with the chazaka and we apply the rule smoke with the chazaka. According to this class of the Rashba, now everything makes perfect sense. Now we understand why we don't apply the rule of smoke with the chazaka in the sugya of shechita, says the Rashba. What was the original kasha? That's nice, but the miut are not mumkin. So let's combine the miut of not mumkin with the cheskes isser of the animal. So comes the Rashba and says, what do you mean? The miut who are not mumkin are an outright contradiction to the rov who are mumkin. It's not that out of the 90% who are mumkin, some of them are not mumkin. That doesn't make any sense. There are 90% who are mumkin. There are 10% who don't know what they're doing. So that 10% is standing up on its own 2 feet, fighting against the rov. And guess what? Mute is command alay sadami. We ignore it. We don't have to reckon with it. We don't have to deal with it because it's a mute menagid is a rov. Only when the mute is bami koyach a rov do we say smoke mit lechazaka. So says the Rashba, that's the answer to the question. That's the aside dover. So this Rashba is the source for this is the Mishmer Sabayis on the Sefer Torah Sabayis of the Rashba. But we actually have a record of this in the Ritva also. If you take a look at the back of the Mamre Kamos, so in that same Ritva, in Kiddushin, the favorite Alpha that we get so excited about yesterday, that discovered that the Ra'ah was the one who said, Smoke with the Chazak of Medaraisa, so comes the Ritva, the last paragraph, and says, Mew Mistava de Kushime Karaleis. It says the Ritva, it would appear to him that the original question that the Ra'ah was bothered with, that why do we say, Smoke with the Chazak of Shechita, and which forced the Ra'ah to that difficult conclusion that Rov means cold, says the Ritva himself, I don't think the whole question was a question. Why? When do we say that klal? Hosamu shehamiut misulak min harov atzmo, that the miut is coming out of the rov itself. Shemei also rov the talina the rov nashim misabro, that within the rov itself yesh mitzasim shemapilos. Because it also rov kilu mechta mitzarv yud chazak lios kemechta. Aval hocha v'yeh b'shchita. Shehamiut ahu eino nito mechelek harov, ela miut bifnei atzmo mulvad harov. So, and he gives the example, like, shirov tirokos metavchim, miut achadish e metavchim, v'rom omer biatzumo v'kocho kayim, ein hamiut choshem l'tztayim mechazok al yus kinek harov kifazo palga. And now he says, what's the punchline to this yisod? V'hosam nami, in the case of Yevamos, davka miut demapilos mitztayim mechazok al kinek harov. Only the miut of women who have a miscarriage is where the Gemara applies the rule of smoke with chazaka. Av aloha miut de nashish emes abros. The Gemara doesn't use the phrase miut nashim don't become pregnant. She'enu mesulach min arov. Because that type of a miut would be a miut ha-menag, and it's a rov, not a miut ha-mesulach min arov, ha-bamikoyach arov. So atkan divi ha-ritva. This ritva, this first paragraph of the ritva, is kim'at a verbatim quote from the Rashba in the Sefer Mishmer Sabayis. So now, that we've developed this whole new approach, this whole new outlook on smoke mit lechazaka. Let's go back to Gittin Davez. That's where the whole sugya began. So Gittin Davez and Davez comes to Gemara and says, you follow Rov. Rov people who write the Gittin are Rov Bikil Nishma. He asks the Gemara, Ula Rabbi Meir the Chayish Lemiyuta, what are you going to do? So we jumped over and said, wait a second, what do you mean Ula Rabbi Meir the Chayish Lemiyuta? And what about according to the Rabbanan, who are choshish for smoke mit lechazaka? The case of a get is a classic smoke mit lechazaka that combined the small percentage of people who don't know the din of lishma to the cheskes iseracious ish of the woman, and let's apply the rule smoke mit lechazaka and have a problem even according to the Rabbanan. That was that kasha. So remember yesterday we said Tosos Chad Bikamoy wouldn't have asked the kasha because they held there is no such thing as smoke mit lechazaka. Rabbi Tam wouldn't have asked the kasha because he held there's no such thing that there is a smoke with lechazaka. It was a very, very limited group of Rishonim who could even formulate the question. Only the Rabbi Kreskes with the Ra'ah, those Rishonim who held that smoke with lechazaka is the Araisa, would have been bothered with the question in the first place. But now, l'chora, according to this yisod of the Rashba and the Ritva, the Kushas make Karaleisa, that smoke with lechazaka is not appropriate. in our sugya. Because what type of a miut is our sugya? Our sugya is rov, people know how to know the din of lishma, rov b'kiyanheim, and there's a miut to a not b'kiyanheim. That miut to a not b'kiyan, is that a miut habamikach harov, or is that a miut haminagin is a rov? That's a miut haminagin is a rov. That's the miut which is outright contradicting the rov. The same way, we give the perfect marshal shechita. Just as by shechita, rov mitzvah is a shechita mumkarein, miut she'en al mumkhin. So the miut is menagin is a rov. When the miut is menagin is a rov, it's kibando leisa, according to the rabbani. You don't say smoch mitzvah chazaka under those circumstances. So too by get, rov, people know, rov b'kina, they take another din lishma. There are 10% of people who don't know the din of lishma. That's not a rov abami. That's not a miut abami kecha rov. That's not undermining the rov itself. That's a rov which is dinachut. That is miut dinachut. So that miut is kimandalei. So smoke with chazaka doesn't apply. So we have just developed for ourselves a totally independent answer to the sugya. Why the Gemara wasn't bothered according to the Chav? We don't have to fall back on Rabbeinu Kreskes or Shtickel Torah that the Gemara really was bothered, but it didn't bother asking it because we could have figured out the answer on our own. No. Gemara Peshitta didn't ask the question, because the question would have been an inappropriate question. So why does Rabbeinu Kreskes, why didn't they say what we are saying? Why were they bothered with the question? Why did they have to give that difficult answer that the Gemara could have asked it, should have asked it, would have asked it, but didn't, because you could figure out yourself? Why didn't they go with Amahalach, that this is an inappropriate application of Smoch Mitl Chazava? The answer is, if we had to pick a Rishon who disagrees with this Rashba, we had to pick a Rishon who disagrees with this limitation on Smoch Mitl Chazocha. Who is that Rishon? It's the Ra'ah. How do I know? I know proof positive that the Ra'ah didn't buy into this brisketayr of two types of robes and meals. Because the Ra'ah asked the question of Rov Mitzudei Tashchit Mumchenein, how can that be, let's say, Smoch Mitl Chazocha? And the Ra'ah couldn't come up with a different answer. He didn't come up with the shtikotayr of the Rashba. He didn't buy into the Rashba shtikotayr of two types of meals. The Ra'ah was so overwhelmed with the question of Smoch Mitl Chazocha in the realm of Shechita that he rather took the word Rov and translated it to mean coal rather than go the root of the Rashba. So you see that the Ra'ah was the Rishon par excellence who didn't buy into these limitations and these chilukim of Smoch Mitl Chazocha, only some kinds of meals, and not other kinds of meals. So of course the Ra'ah couldn't give that teretz in our sugya. The Ra'ah and Gittin can only be understood in light of the Ra'ah by Shechita. Just as yesterday we said, we can only understand the kasha of the Ra'ah in Gittin Daf Beis because we know the Ra'ah was the one by the sugya Shechita holds that Smoch Mitl Chazocha is d'oraisa. Just as we needed that half of the puzzle yesterday, the other half of the picture is necessary for today. Namely, the only way to understand why the Ra'ah was bothered with the kasha and didn't go the route of the Rashba and the Ritva to get out of the problem is Dafka the Ra'ah the Shitasa, who didn't buy into these two types of meal. The Ra'ah held Smoch Mitl Chazocha all the time. Under all circumstances, it's a d'oraisa, it applies all the time, no ands and buts. And therefore, it really was applicable in our sugya. Misvar, it should have applied in our sugya. But it doesn't. The Gemara didn't bother asking it because the Gemara could have figured out, we could have figured out the answer on our own. So there's a fundamental machlokes that we showed him now, which started as a machlokes in Hilcha Shechita. Rov Mitzudei Tashchita Mumchenein. How do you solve that problem? Do you go the root of the Rashba? Do you go the root of the Ra'ah? Which is now ultimately the way we have to look at getting that base on the base. Why didn't the Gemara introduce the Chacham Smoch Mitl Chazocha into our sugya? Again, according to the Rishonim who deny Smoch Mitl Chazocha, it's not a kasha to begin with. But even within the Rishonim who accept Smoch Mitl Chazocha, why didn't the Gemara introduce it? So the Rashba and the Ritva hold because the Ikaron, it would be a misapplication of that principle. This is a miut haminagin, not a miut habamikach harov. And according to the Ra'ah, who doesn't buy into that chiluk, according to him, Inochinam, the Gemara really should have said it and just didn't because of a technical reason we could have figured out on our own. There's one last mahalach of the sugya, which doesn't appear in the Rishonim, but appears in Rabbi Kivega. That the Chiddush of Rabbi Kivega on our sugya goes his own route. Comes to Rabbi Kivega and says, I'll tell you why the Gemara left out, according to the Chacham, why the Gemara doesn't introduce Smoch Mitl Chazocha. Says Rabbi Kivega, it's a throwback to an old sugya that we learned already months ago, but it really completes the entire picture of that day. We're about to make a seam on the days and days in Gittin. So it comes to Rabbi Kivega and says, let's bring back some good memories from the past. Says Rabbi Kivega, if you remember, when we spoke about the original sugya of Erechen and Bisurin and Ein Davar Shebi Hapachus Mishnayim, it was a big machlokes in Rishonim about when we say that Ein Davar Shebi Hapachus Mishnayim, is that limited only to a makom chazaka, or even in the absence of a chazaka? So there were rishonim who maintained that it's only true if both conditions are met. It's a davish of the erva with the cheskes iser. Only if there's a chazaka working with the davish of the erva, then and only then is the eidecha not neman. That was such a mahalach. Remember the Maharik with the Ramban. We spoke about this berichos weeks and months ago. Comes in Kivegan and says, if you have a situation where the only thing that creates a problem for you is smoch mit l'chazaka, you have to fall back on the chazaka to create an iser in the first place. Says Rabbi Kivega, that's not called the mokom cheskes iser, because if the chazaka is necessary to create the problem in the first place, that's not called an iser the mokom cheskes iser. That's called, in a sense, a lack of cheskes iser. If the iser exists in and of itself, we have a problem on our hands before we start searching for a chazaka, and to boot, there happens to be a chazaka that's working against you, then you got problems. That's called the mokom cheskes iser. Says Rabbi Kivega, according to Rabbi Meir, pure Rabbi Meir, who's cheshesh lemiut by itself, Rabbi Meir is cheshesh lemiut even in the absence of a chazaka. So now when you have a woman in front of us and we're not sure, is the get good or is the get no good? There's a 10% chance the get is no good. And Rabbi Meir is cheshesh lemiut even if there wouldn't be a cheskes iser, even if there would be no such concept as cheskes iser, Rabbi Meir is cheshesh lemiut. And now to boot, added to that miut, you have a chazaka. That's called in Eidech and Abisum, Mokom Cheskes Isser, against the Chazaka, that's the problem. Ain't Dov Shavi Yav Apachas Mishnayim. Mashenkin, according to the Rabbanon, if you would just have a meal just by itself, we would just ignore it. We'd say, Rov, Acher, Mahatos, Venachesh, the meal is finished. What gives this meal Koiches? What gives this meal something that we have to reckon with? Is it Siruf to the Chazaka? If Chazaka is necessary to create a problem in the first place, You can't use the chazaka twice. It means you just used up the chazaka to create a problem in the first place, to create it later, so suffolk in the first place. So now to turn around and say, this is called the cheskes iser. This is called davar shebiyavimach cheskes iser. L'hoyed v'ri yavim sister v'kivegar. Once the cheskes iser has already been used up, so to speak, we already sapped its strength to create a later so suffolk in the first place, you can't turn around and say, oh, gebalt, you have the cheskes iser, and that isn't going to be believed. So says Rabbi Kivega, that's why the Gemara didn't bother asking the question according to the Chachamim. Because according to the Chachamim, yes, it's a problem. Yes, machmit l'chazaka. Yes. But that's not called cheskes iser. That's called isurin, b'li cheskes iser. And what's the din for davar shebiyavim b'li cheskes iser, according to the Maharik, and those who have like the Maharik? Eidechad is neman. So comes Rabbi Kivega and says, the reason why the Gemara formulated the question only alibid the Rabbi Meir, not alibid the Rabbanon, because it's only alibid the Rabbi Meir that we could label this as a davar shebiyav bin makom cheskes iser, because cheskes iser isn't necessary to create the latest asafik. The latest asafik was created by the existence of the mute. The Rebbe was cheshesh lemiut, but according to the Rabbanan, who had not cheshesh lemiut, they're only cheshesh lemiut because there happens to be chazaka here. So when the chazaka is necessary to create, to formulate the very chashash in the first place, you can't turn around and use the chazaka to bolster it and say, oh, guess what? Now we have a cheskes iser to boot. And Eidechen isn't going to be Neman. So says Rabbi Kivega, right, so according to the Rabbanan, Rov Mir is a done deal. The meal's gone. But now the Chazaka comes and gives us a latest asafik, because the Chazaka brings the meal back to Chesamaitim, smoke with the Chazaka. So the Chazaka is being used to create the latest asafik in the first place, a latest asafik that we have to reckon with. Before Chazaka entered into the picture, it was a meal we didn't have to bother about. We didn't have to think about it. It didn't bother us.
So,
No. Rov already passed it up. Rov against the mute, the mitzvah command the leisa. Rov already solved the problem. But now, Gevalt, we have a chazaka also. So chazaka tells us, wait a second, that's so simple. You can't just ignore the mute. Smoke mute with chazaka. So the chazaka is responsible for causing us a problem in the first place. That's called the chazaka creating the latest asafik. So it comes to the Kveg and says, Mamashek Gemara is like a charm. Why did the Gemara only pick on Rabbi Meir and leave the Chacham alone? What happened to smoke mit l'chazaka? Not because smoke mit l'chazaka is only midrabanan. Not because it doesn't exist like Taz Chamik Amai. Not like the Ritva and the Rashba, because it's a type of a sofek. I'm sorry, because it's a type of a meal that's minagadis and rov. No, it was a perfect candidate for smoke mit l'chazaka. The only problem is, Let it be smokvit l'chazaka, but the eid echad is neman. The whole shock of the time of the Gemara is, hey, why is the eid echad neman? It's a davar shabi erva. So you can only label it a davar shabi erva, b'cheskes yisrael, leave it to Rabbi Meir. So ula Rabbi Meir the chayish, the miyut, the who's chayish, independently to a miyut. So Rabbi Meir doesn't use up the chazaka to create the latest l'safek. So for him, it's called the davar shabi erva, b'chom cheskes yisrael. Mashenke, the implication is only but the Rabbanon, it's called Erechan Abisurin finished, because it's not a Dov Shavyev, it's not the Machab Cheskesis, because the Chazaka was already used up to create the latest Sophic in the first place. So at the end of the day, when all the dust settles, Lufiani is Daiti, there are five different Mahalchim in the Sugya. There are five different approaches to this one basic question in that Sugya. The basic question is, how come the Gemara says Ulu Rabbi Meir the Chayish Lemiyuta? Let's be concerned. Whereas the Gemara ignored the Rabbanan. The Gemara didn't mention, didn't say word, didn't say boo about the Rabbanan. What should we walk away with that from that line, the Gemara, from that question of Lemiyuta Rabbi Meir, the implication that it's not a problem of Lemiyuta Rabbanan? What conclusion can we draw? So I think there are five different possibilities. So the first possibility is the Tosfos Chad Mikamai, that the reason why the Gemara didn't ask Lemiyuta the Rabbanan Smoch Mitla Chazaka, because smoke with l'chazaka doesn't exist. It means there's no such thing, that there never was a smoke with l'chazaka. The Gemara B'cheris never met in the Gemara Yivamus v'shalot k'alocha. There is no such thing as smoke with l'chazaka. According to Tosfos Chad Mikamai, the simple reading of the sugi of the child with the isa, with the dough, smoke with l'chazaka is a non-entity. That's why the Gemara didn't ask the question. That's one approach of the Gemara. The second approach of the Gemara was Rabbeinu Tam in B'choros. Rabbeinu Tam says, yes, l'mais in Shukharach, there is a din of smoke with l'chazaka, but it's only a chumah mid the rabbanon. It's not a din mid the araisa, and therefore the gemara cannot ask the question of limud the rabbanon, because only if yechayish shlemiyot mid the araisa, then we can't accept the eid echad. But if the whole chashash is only mid the rabbanon, so we already know mishumiguna kili the rabbanon. At the end of the day, the gemara is going to invoke mishumiguna kili the rabbanon. If the issue is only mid the rabbanon getting beizam and beizam, the eid echad would be believed. So that's why the gemara shied away from asking the question of limud the rabbanon. So Rav Edetam is not quite the Tosfos Chad Mikamai. The Tosfos Chad Mikamai held smoke with chazaka doesn't exist bechlal, not mid araisa nor mid rabbanon. Whereas Rabbi Tam says, yes, it exists, all right, mid rabbanon, but it's irrelevant to that sugi, because by the rabbanon we're going to let the erech get away with whatever he says anyway. That was the second approach. The third approach is to say that smoke with chazaka exists nikra din. It exists mid araisa. It's the real McCoy. But it doesn't apply in our sugya. Why doesn't it apply in our sugya? It doesn't apply in our sugya because it's a type of a miyut which is menagdas arov, not bamikoch arov, basing ourselves on the Rashba and the Ritva. Now, neither one, the Rashba nor the Ritva, actually said it to answer our question, but we are guessing that according to that mahalakh and those we're showing him, that would be a perfectly acceptable approach to our sugya. So we're going to call this the Rashba and the Ritva's approach to our sugya. So far we have three. Tos chadikamoy, it doesn't exist. Rabbi Tam exists with the Rabbanon, Rashba Rav exists with the Raisa, but it's not applicable here because of the type of miyut that it is. Then we have Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega says the question is an inappropriate question, not because of anything to do with smoch mitl chazaka. This is a real mekoy of smoch mitl chazaka. It's a derais pikadin, it applies under all circumstances, but it's still irrelevant here because according to the Chachamim, it exists, but it's not going to create a cheskes iser, because since the chazaka is necessary to create the iser in the first place, you can't turn around and call this davar shebi'ed makom cheskes iser. That was the fourth malach of Kivega. And the fifth malach is the Rabbeinu Kreskes and the Ra'ah, and conceptually, I'm putting this fifth malach separate from the first four. The fifth malach is saying, the question is better than the answer. That means inochanami, that according to the Rabbanan, the Gemara should have asked the question. It is an appropriate question. It's a very good question. And the only reason the Gemara didn't ask it because of a technical detail that we could have figured out the answer. The same way, according to the Rabbanan, it's a mute of the mute, or a mute of Shchiach, whatever the reason is. Whatever negating the mute solves the Rabbi Meir's problem, we can plug it and solve the Rabbanan's problem also. But the Ikaro, says the Rabbeinu Kreskes and the Ra'ah, the Gemara really should have, honest to goodness, asked the question, because it is a very appropriate question. I think we get to sum up the sugya. I think we can probably make a siyum on this sugya of mute, everything. I think there are five mahalchim in the Rishonim. Why the Gemara didn't ask the most obvious question? Tosfos Chad Mikamai, the Rabbeinu Tam, what we're guessing is the Rashba and the Ritva, Rabbi Kiveger, and the Rabbeinu Kreskes with the Ra'ah.
Let's go.
Okay.
Andy?
Oh, for sure. We all need it.